This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and Merry Christmas, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton on 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network with my partner in crime, Walter Yerkew. How are we doing today, Walt?
No, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good. It's a holiday season, trying to be festive, and we're going to start enjoying some 60-degree weather starting today down here in the Southern Tennessee studio.
Well, don't rub it in. It's 27 degrees up here, and my heater's been running 24/7. It is cold up in the district. But anyways, let's get down to brass tacks. As usual, first thing we want to do is remember the law enforcement officers that were murdered in the line of duty. Today, we want to recognize and remember Constable Eula Hawkins of the Panola County, Mississippi Constable's Office, end of watch December 12, 2019. He was killed when a stolen vehicle in a pursuit intentionally rammed his vehicle. Fortunately, the perps behind the wheel are in custody. Also, Walter, this special week, we need to remember Officers Wenjin Liu and Officer Rafael Ramos of the New York City Police Department. End of watch, December 20th, 2014. For those who have not been a regular listener to the Liberty News Radio Network, here are some of the details. As we all know, the war on cops began in early 2014 in Jersey City, New Jersey, when police officer Melvin Santiago was murdered by another piece of trash. This is where America was introduced to Sean Bergen. Sean gave his personal opinion as a reporter on News 12 New Jersey on the lack of respect for law enforcement in the black community. The American media turned their attention on Sean instead of the murdered police officer. Now, Liberty News Radio was the only outlet that welcomed Sean with open arms. Fox News had Sean on with Megyn Kelly, but I'm willing to bet that Roger Ailes would not have Sean on his network because Ailes felt he could not control him. Ailes is a very controlling individual. Now, before that fateful Saturday, the anti-police climate was through the roof. President Obama and Mayor Bill de Blasio were talking trash about law enforcement constantly. Days earlier in New York, people were protesting in the street chanting, "What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now." Then on Saturday, December 20th, 2014, the officers Lou and Ramos were enjoying a break in their RMP or police car. The officers working overtime, this being 5 days before Christmas, because both of them had families, and trust me, both of them needed the money. So enter one disgusting piece of human debris named Ismael Brinsley. He was nothing but a burden on society all of his adult life. Brinsley was upset about the deaths of fellow dirtbags Eric Garner and Professor Mike Brown. I call Mike Brown Professor Mike Brown because the media only shows his graduation photo of his cap and gown. So anyways, Mr. Brinsley traveled from the Baltimore area to New York to give some pigs their wings. Brinsley saw Lou and Ramos sitting in their car, walked up the car, and opened fire. Brinsley then fled on foot to a train station where, thankfully, he took his own life. While this was going on, I was texting Sean Bergen that day when he gave me the news. I then called him on the phone. He was going to go to the scene and asked if Jim Edwards wants him on this political cesspool. He's going to be ready. I texted James the news, and the response was that me and Sean could do it at the last segment of the last hour, as it was the cesspool's Christmas show, and he had articles to read and read Christmas blessings, so on and so forth. James did not know how big this was going to be, so I called Sam Bushman to fill him in, as Sean and I knew this was going to be big, especially Sean, because Sean knows the news. Sam then convinced James to run the story, and the Political Cesspool was one of the very few outlets outside of New York to broadcast the story. During the broadcast, when Sean was giving his report, you can hear me muttering Jesus under my breath when I was hearing the gruesome details. The next week, Sean and I were back on the air as the two heroes were being laid to rest. Vice President Joe Biden was sent to Ramos's funeral, praising him and New York's finest, but then 5 years later, he's trashing law enforcement. Now, we said back then there was a war on police and a war on cops. We coined that phrase first. Since that fateful day, either on the Political Cesspool, Red 42, or 75 Radio, I make sure to read the names of law enforcement murdered in the line of duties because simply nobody else will. Of course, some of the media was Johnny-come-latelys. They started to talk about the Lou and Ramos shooting after the New Year's. I guess all the reporters, producers, editors were enjoying the holiday. But they were way too late. In 2009, four Oakland cops were shot and killed by another piece of garbage. The only national voice for those fallen officers was Michael Savage. The camera stayed off until 2015 when Harris County, Texas Sheriff's Deputy Darren Goforth was murdered putting gas in his patrol car at a public gas station. In 2016, the Dallas Police Department was ambushed. Five dead cops. This is broadcast live on Fox News. In 2016, Bretton Rouge also lost three cops in one ambush. At the memorial service in Dallas, in a room full of police officers mourning their fellow brothers, President Obama was talking about racism in law enforcement. Of course, no one except us turned to Bergen to talk about Baton Rouge and Dallas, despite he was on the scene for a similar situation in Jersey City, New Jersey. Then entered Donald Trump. He came on the campaign trail as a businessman, but he is no dummy. He has seen the Obama attack on the police with his words and actions, such as sending White House staffers to Michael Brown's funeral and putting the Department of Justice on a witch hunt to destroy the life of Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson, which they failed to do. I wish the Department of Justice would have put that much energy on the murder of Border Patrol agents who were murdered with American weapons that the Obama administration allowed the drug cartels to purchase. Trump came out publicly to say he supports law enforcement. He has attended many Fraternal Order of Police events and even brought up the family of fallen officer Miostis Familia at a memorial service in Washington in 2018. I wish that since Donald Trump was elected, things would be better. Not really. Bill de Blasio got a second term. New York's finest are being assaulted with water and airmail from the 1980s. Chicago elected a cop hater, and the body count in Chicago keeps climbing. It's so bad in New York that 10 cops took their own lives in 9 months. Since Lou and Ramos were taken from us, New York lost four members of the service to the street garbage. Brian Moore, Randolph Holder, Paul Tuzulo, and Miostos Familio. While Officer Familia laid in a morgue in preparation for her funeral. And we're going to be right back about the murder of Lou and Ramos that took place five years ago this week. We'll be right back after this break.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
We are back remembering the murders of New York City police officers Wenjin Liu and Rafael Ramos, taken from us December 20th, 2014. Before our break, I was talking about New York City had an officer in a morgue getting ready for a funeral. As the city mourns, Mayor de Blasio flew to Germany to visit his son, who was attending Yale at the time, on summer break, and to protest the G20 summit, even though de Blasio himself is a millionaire. But there's a silver lining in all this. As Officer Liu's widow is mourning the loss of her husband, doctors tell her that they can save his sperm. She is now the proud mother of a little girl fathered by her husband. Mrs. Ramos started a foundation in recognition of her husband's sacrifice. Sergeant Tozzolo's wife ran in the New York City Marathon in 2019 to honor her husband. And the children officer Familia now live in a house rent-free, mortgage-free, thanks to Tunnels to Towers. Now, I realize that cops were murdered way before Obama became in office, and they'll continue to be murdered after we're all gone. But policing in America has gotten much tougher. The job will not protect you. It's just not the NYPD. It's other agencies I've seen firsthand. As taxpayers and citizens, we must demand that our protectors are protected. This includes the local sheriff because, you know, the local sheriff is a law enforcement officer and elected politician. Well, what say you in all this?
Well, yeah, it is about the officers that were murdered right before Christmas. Yeah, de Blasio visit his son. These two guys were gunned down just sitting in the car. It's as if the killer watched Fort Apache, the Bronx, with Paul Newman. Do you remember that movie?
Yep, came out in 1981.
Yep. The two officers sitting in the car, sitting ducks. And that was a horrible, horrible scene. So if you didn't see that movie, can't imagine what these two officers went through with that gun pointed in their faces, just pumping them full of bullets. And like you said, fortunately, this guy went down. We go down the first flight of stairs, the nearest subway, and did himself in. Yeah, you know.
Right.
Wish he would have done that 5 minutes earlier.
Right.
You know, you never miss is going to happened to these New York City police officers and police officers all over the country. You know, the war on cops hasn't slowed down. There's officers killed every week. I think we had 2 weeks this year that we didn't have to report officers killed in the line of duty. And, you know, what leaves the family in shambles. It's just a horrible thing that New York City hasn't gotten over yet. And it continues. It continues. We got a new police commissioner. But last I heard out of him was he was visiting Alley Boy Shopton, you know, and this mayor with another term. The NYPD, you know, I stand up and fight for every one of these guys if I could. And we try to week in and week out. Need the upper ranks from the police commissioner's office on up to back these cops up. And I've said this before on other shows, just, you know, cut them loose. Let them do what they were trained to do. Let them do what the New York City police, the New York City residents want them to do. And although we don't see everything that goes on behind the scenes, it's all about right now cops getting killed and cops killing themselves. You know, it's horrible. You know, it's the Christmas season, and these two cops were murdered right before Christmas 5 years ago. It was disgusting.
Right.
Disgusting.
And don't forget, they were working overtime because, well, you and I both know, as former employees of the city of New York, cops are underpaid. I mean, the cost of living is just through the roof. I had to come up with a money order of $500-something just to get my uniforms and books or whatever. And the PBA, they purchased the weapons for us. It wasn't the city didn't give us guns. The PBA, out of their due paying members, they had bought the recruits pistols, and which is just, I mean, this is under the Giuliani regime. And so it just, you know, you got a guy or girl just 20, 21 years old, just, you know, first real job or second real job. And they say, oh, tomorrow come up with a money order, $512. We're going to give you uniforms and your books and your gun belt and so on and so forth. And then on top of that, there's really no place to you can't brown bag your lunch. You always have to eat out somewhere. And, of course, that gets expensive quick because depending what your sector is, you can't just go all the way back to the house, even if you're transit, to go to eat your lunch in the station. And I mean that's the smallest of problems. You got all the street garbage out there. Know that it's a war on cops, that they can get away with anything. They know that the cops are figuratively handcuffed and doing their job. I've talked to other officers from other jurisdictions, and they tell me straight up. They said the number of complaints has gone through the roof. Meanwhile, the bosses are telling them don't do their job. And if you do become proactive in fighting crime, and, you know, some piece, you have to use some force, the minimum amount of force to effect that arrest, and they file a police brutality complaint, the Internal Affairs Department of that agency has no problems opening up case files on cops. And retention on some of these departments is a revolving door. They come in, they get go through the academy, get their little certificates, and they're sworn police officers. And then as soon as they can, they're out the door because they don't work. Why work for an agency where if you want to go fight crime, you want to keep people safe, you want to lock up bad people because that's what we wanted to do, they say, well, you use too much force or you're too proactive, we're going over the case file. And it's sad. And there's one agency I know of where this officer got promoted to sergeant, and she was very, very pro cop, and she was very good at what she did. She got in a beef with the watch commander, a lieutenant, and she got fired. And the union for that agency did nothing. So that's where we're facing. And she was sticking up for another cop. So, anyways, you know, that's unfortunately that's 21st century policing. You know, it's the old adage, when seconds count, the police are minutes away. Then when the police get there, there's like, well, we didn't see it, or no, we can do, or, you know, oops, sorry, it took so long to get over here, but, you know, since we're so short of officers because they keep leaving because our department stinks, you know, where do you go, you know, what's the citizen to do but to protect themselves? Now, if you live in Chicago, Baltimore, or New York, or any of these other liberal pinko cities, you're not allowed to defend yourself. Only the rich people that can afford private armed security can defend themselves. Fortunately, in Detroit, the police chief said that, you know what, go out and get yourself a gun. You're allowed to carry concealed. Go out and defend yourself because, frankly, the Detroit Police Department can't do it, and they can't. So people have been purchasing firearms. They've been using said firearms in self-defense or defense of a third person, and it's been classified as justified. But it's unfortunately, we're the only media outlet out there talking about Lou and Ramos. And, you know, you're not going to hear this anywhere else but here on 7-5 Radio. We're going to continue to do this till we all come home at the end of the shift. Anyways, we're coming on our halfway break. We're going to talk about the impeachment and some other stuff that's going on around here. This is 7-5 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump is going to be signing a big budget bill today that will keep the government up and running, preventing a government shutdown, which otherwise would happen tonight at midnight. The Senate approved the budget compromise yesterday, with White House officials helping to negotiate the year-end agreement. It will fund the government through next September, the end of the current fiscal year. AAA says nearly 116 million Americans will be traveling between December 21st, which is tomorrow, and New Year's Day. A AAA spokesman, Robert Sinclair, says many will drive and many of them will deal with a lot of headaches.
We are anticipating more than 800,000 breakdowns among AAA members for the holiday travel period, with flat tires, dead batteries, and folks locking themselves out of their vehicles as the top three reasons.
This is USA Radio News.
Haul packages for a living? A gas-powered Mercedes-Benz Sprinter delivers. Transport people? A Sprinter van with 0% financing is a five-star idea. If food delivery is your thing, then a gas Sprinter caters to you. And if you're a general contractor, the Sprinter with 0% financing nails it. With innovation, safety, and technology, Sprinter is built for you. And it's built for your bottom line with 0% financing. The Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, starting at just $33,790. And for a limited time with IRS Section 179, you could be eligible for up to a $25,000 tax deduction. Gas engine, 0% financing, and a possible tax deduction? Now that's a Sprinter that delivers. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation, charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, excluding cab chassis. Qualified commercial customers only. Financing offer valid through January 2nd, 2020. Consult your tax advisor. For more information, limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com.
A Utah woman's accused of trying to buy a weapon of mass destruction online. A joint investigation between state and federal agencies leading to the charges against Janie Lynn Ridd, who allegedly tried to buy a possible biological agent online. Officials have not released further details. Boeing Starliner capsule having problems this morning after launching on its first test flight. NASA says the Atlas V rocket burned more fuel than planned and could not get into position to get to the International Space Station. Nicole Mann is an astronaut who's to fly in the Starliner in the future. She says,
we train extensively for this type of contingency. And had we been on board, there could have been actions that we could have taken. And we will continue to develop those actions.
Britain's 98-year-old Prince Philip is being treated in a London hospital. The husband of Queen Elizabeth is suffering from a pre-existing condition, they say. And this is USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is another historic week. President Donald Trump was impeached. This has been nothing but a joke. The House Democrats charged Trump with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Neither offense, if you can call them, are in the U.S. Code, which is the federal penal law. Now, during the hearings led by Shifty Shift and Gerald the Penguin Nadler, Republicans were not allowed to call witnesses or present evidence. Some of the hearings were done behind closed doors due to national security concerns. Most witnesses said that they heard about Trump and heard about the telephone call via a third person, which is hearsay evidence. Then at the Judiciary Committee hearing, the first four witnesses were radical leftist law professors giving a lecture and presenting nothing. Then one of the witnesses, one of the law professors turned out and was asking questions of other witnesses as Democrat counsel, which is totally unheard of and totally just conflict of interest. Then for some unknown reason, Shifty Shift got phone records of witnesses, reporters, and other members of Congress. And so far, nothing was proven, and we've heard of nothing of the whistleblower. Speaking of the whistleblower, everybody knows his name. It's Eric Chiarmella, who is another Pennsylvania and Washington bureaucrat. And Shifty Shift talked to Chiarmella, but he refuses to say that he did talk to Chiarmella, which is another conflict of interest. After the impeachment vote, Speaker Pelosi was half in the bag, did not deliver the articles of impeachment to the Senate. That's right. They rushed just before the Christmas break to vote on these articles of impeachment, and they pushed it through. They voted to impeach him. He was impeached. So the articles are supposed to be delivered to the Senate, where they have the trial presided by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and you have 100 jurors of the Senate. But she knows that the Republicans lead the House. She knows that Turkey Neck is in close contact with the White House, and she knows it's not going anywhere. Now, what she also has to figure is Rudy Giuliani. Before he became America's mayor, he was one of the toughest prosecutors in the entire U.S. of A. He took down Michael Milken, who was a Wall Street insider trader. He took down numerous members of organized crime, and that's why he did not win the mayoralship in 1989, because all these mafiosos on Staten Island refused to vote for Giuliani, because here you have an Italian whose father may or may not have been in some organized crime activities, putting away other mobsters. What a hypocrite, and we're not voting for Rudy because he's putting all of our people in jail. But anyways, in my opinion, the Democrat Party, as we all know, is straight trash. They're hoping to impeach Trump and win in 2020, but it's backfiring big time. As they're talking about celebrating the impeachment of Donald Trump, including Rashida Tlaib out of Michigan, nobody from the New York delegation from the House, including Jerry Nadler and Elliot Engel, will talk about Lou and Ramos. And so that's it. It was a sham. It was a dog and pony show. Nothing's going to be done. And Trump's going to win big time. Well, your opinions on this this impeachment?
But, you know, a lot of people are online and, Facebook and Twitter and what have you. And, you know, they're asking, you know, exactly what does impeachment mean? You know, and of course you can Google it and it'll give you the textbook definition. You know, simply said, an impeachment is like, you know, indicting a criminal, that there was a crime committed, and they think this person may have done the crime. And then, of course, they present the accusatory instrument and then move forward to court. Same thing here, you know, but Pelosi is refusing to push this through to the Senate because, you know, the Senate majority isn't going to go for this. You know, they're not going to prosecute the president of the United States. As you said, you know, these things in the impeachment aren't crimes. You know, abuse of power. All right, you have to have a list of what he did to abuse that constitutes his abuse of power. You can't just say, well, he's abusing the presidency. Well, how? And, you know, nobody answered that question. Nobody. And it's a question that can't be asked, you know, if it gets to the Senate, because there is no crime. It's going to get dropped. So what they're going to do is they'll probably just leave it, let it lay. I think there's a 5-year statute on this, unless he leaves office, and then they'll try to hang him, you know, or the next president pardons him. And then, you know, he walks away from it, but he walks away from it muddy. Now, from what I heard this morning, Senator Graham said he was with the president, and the president was quite pissed off that this isn't moving forward, you know, today, that Pelosi is holding this up. And basically, Graham said the president said this sucks. You know, he wants his day in court. He wants his day in court. And I can't say I blame him. You know, if you're accused of a crime, all right, put me in front of everybody and ask me the correct questions, and I'll give you the correct answers. So Mr. Trump, for lack of a better term, pretty much, you know, cracked the champagne the other day and said, doesn't feel like we're getting impeached, does it? Because there's no crime at all.
Exactly. And what's funny is that if you remember Bill Clinton, when he was impeached because he was lying under oath. And if you read Gary Burns' book, Crisis of Character, there's a whole bunch of other things they couldn't impeach him for, number one. Number two, another thing Nancy Pelosi needs to worry about is, again, Rudy Giuliani, because he's been doing some research. I wouldn't be surprised if Rudy wants to call Joe Hunter Biden, call the people in Ukraine about what had them say in front of an open impeachment hearing and on television what he was told by Joe Biden. I'm sure there's other things like this. I'm sure Rudy can lump in the spy gate because Barack Obama was spying on candidate Donald Trump with absolutely no probable cause. So, you know, I wonder what the statute of limitation is on that. Also, the Washington Post, they had they're in deep trouble with the impeachment because they had a bunch of Washington Post reporters at some restaurant in downtown D.C., and they posted a photo on Twitter saying happy impeachments because they were celebrating that Donald Trump was being impeached. And, of course, they backpedaled, said, no, we're not happy he got impeached because, well, we've been working very hard. We're glad that's over and it's close to Christmas. We can celebrate Christmas, all this other thing. I say bravo, Sierra. You know, and the Democrats, this is not the first time they tried to impeach him. I think 6 other times that they brought up articles of impeachment, but that failed. And then we heard about the Russia investigation, and all you heard was on cable television was that the another bombshell, the wheels are falling off, and the walls are closing in. That's all you heard. And just go on YouTube and type that in. And then when the Mueller report came out and said nothing, they were like, oh, boy. And then he testified, which that was a gift from God himself because Bob Mueller looked absolutely horrendous. He looked senile. He looked feeble-minded. He looked like he didn't know anything. Maybe it did know things, and maybe he didn't want to become Jeffrey Epstein or a victim of Arkansas suicide. Because, again, don't forget, Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, allowed a Russian company take over 20% of U.S. uranium, which is used to enrich nuclear weapons. So, again, it's just been nothing but failure all around. The Democrats, they're just awful. I mean, I always say this. The Republicans are sellouts, and the Democrats are traitors. If you watch that horrendous debate last night with a bunch of losers, they said absolutely nothing. There's not one American flag on the stage. No, nothing. No American flag, no nothing. All you saw was Politico, the Democrats, and PBS. And none of them was very inspiring. But anyways, we're going to come back to our final segment. We're going to talk about international media, some rude people, and wish everybody a Merry Christmas. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we're back. Walter, sounds like you're whitewater rafting. Where's your current location?
On Interstate 24, heading into Chattanooga right now. I have an appointment. Does it sound like I'm running? somewhere.
Yeah, it sounds a lot of background noise. But anyways, well, why don't you let everybody know about the international media network that contacted you and what the final outcome was this week.
All right. Well, the other day I was contacted by 24 News, which is a worldwide global news network. And they're based out of Tel Aviv, but the New York office called me the other day and they wanted me to do a 5-minute commentary on the new law that came into that's going to come into effect on the 1st in New York State, which is the no bail rule. And I did research on it, and I'm pretty well versed in it right now. But it canceled at the last minute. You know, hey, that's Hollywood for you, right? But I-24 News, her name is Alvina Alston. And she's a producer in New York, and I'm in touch with her. And we're going to be doing at least one other project in the coming months. Not quite sure what it's going to be. We discussed a few topics, so I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag yet. The no bail rule is for nonviolent misdemeanors and perhaps nonviolent felonies. So, you know, just use your imagination what they could be. It seems to be targeting the under-resourced communities, as Michelle Obama used to call these ghettos. And these people need to have a decent amount of chance to get out on bail. So, you know, if it's shoplifting, they're going to try to let you out, you know, with no bail. But however, you know, it's got to be ankle bracelets or something, because you can't just let everybody out, you know, on their own recognizance and expect them to show up for court, even in the nonviolent felonies, because, you know, so many people use so many different names, and they usually figure that out while you're sitting in jail, you know, waiting to see a judge for the second time. So that's what I was going to discuss in a nutshell. But other than that, the I-24 News, I did an interview with them a few years back based on there was the shooting in France, mass shooting in France a few years ago, and I commentated on that. So, you know, it's a worldwide outfit. They have many, many, many listeners. So hopefully we can do something with these with this agency and get 75 Radio a little bit deeper into the worldwide view. So, you know. I blame everything on you anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Because when I found out you were scheduled to appear on I-24 News, I went out on Twitter and Facebook saying, oh, listening for Walter on I-24 News at 8:45 p.m., check your local cable service or go to i24news.tv, so on and so forth. And it fell apart like everything else. So anyways, that was very interesting. But also, while you were dealing with a international media conglomerate, I was dealing with a local yokel radio station. As everyone knows, I'm always looking for a way to expand the listenership of 75 Radio. Even though we're on internet, we're on telephone landlines, TuneIn app, Roku player, you know, string on a can. Well, anyways, a couple weeks ago, I found this small station in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, and it's a very, very good station. Very local. Had all local programming for the most part. The PM drive time guys were very good, and I said, "Wow." I said, let me try to get something going and see what they can do. And because I looked on the schedule on Saturday night, they have a replay of something that nobody listens to in the first place. So I made a call to the program director. His name was Bill. And I told him who it was. I said, all right, well, call me later next week. So I did. So I called. I said, hello, Bill. My name is Peter Stanton with 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network. This jerk just hung up on me. Now, it's not like I'm talking to Walter right now where he's somewhere in Tennessee, about to lose communication on his flip phone. This, I'm telling you, this telephone call was coming in clear as day on a landline. And this, instead of this guy just saying, "Oh, sir, I'm not interested, thank you very much," he just hung up the phone, which I thought was really, really, really rude. Now, mind you, I'm not one of these guys selling a health plan or extended warranty on your car or getting a credit card information. I said who I was and where I'm coming from, and I just thought it was extremely rude. Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to give you the call letters of the station because it doesn't matter. And I read the guy's bio. He's been in the same market for 28 years, so he went nowhere fast. And you know what? Moral of the story is, people, just be polite. If somebody calls you up and says, "I'm with so-and-so about, you know, trying to do such-and-such," just hear them out. If you're not interested, say, "I'm not interested." Now, for those other cold calls where they're trying to scam you, by all means, hang up and give them some dirty words. But anyways, that's a life lesson. Just be polite, because you don't know where you're going to meet these people in the future. But anyways, finally, while we got a couple minutes left, I want to wish everybody a very merry, healthy, happy Christmas. Thankfully, with the election of Donald Trump, we're allowed to say Merry Christmas now, and I've been hearing it more and more often. And I'm hearing and I'm seeing it more and more often, people wishing everybody for Merry Christmas. Because, again, we want to celebrate the birth of Christ. It's not the buying people a whole bunch of crap they don't need, overextending our credit just for buying gifts, but we want to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. Be safe. Be healthy. Please be happy. My wife's taking time off from work. I won't be happy. You have any Christmas wishes before we sign off? Hey, Walt, say it again. You're coming. You're cut. There you go. Say it again.
I want to wish everybody in the 75 family a Merry Christmas, and our new family from the racetrack on through to the police departments all around the country. Happy holidays to everybody.
Right. Yeah, it's a good thing you brought up racetrack. Our not so sexy intern got himself another gig at Boyd's Raceway in Georgia. He's going to be with the track announcer doing some PR things. And he told the track owners, like, "Listen, if I do this, I'm getting 75 radio involved." He says, "By all means." So, anyways, look for our not-so-sexy intern, Mike Darren, at Boyd's Raceway in Georgia. He's got something coming up in January, but I got to get hit. I need to have him send out press releases about what he has going on, because, again, with this, ever since we got involved with Topless Outlaw Racing, it's just, we've been going all over the place, and we can't be happier for that. But anyways, for 2020, we got some big things going. Again, I-24 News, Boyd's Raceway, Topless Outlaw Racing, our driver, Jeff Jackson, he's got a new car coming out, new paint scheme. He's going to have 75 somewhere on that car, but we have a presidential election coming up in 2020, so that's going to be very, very interesting. And also, we have CPAC coming on, so in late February, so hopefully I'll be able to broadcast from CPAC again, this time with the my studio equipment set up. Last time is just, I got there late. I had a hard time getting press credentials, but I did get them, thankfully, because, I mean, I'm a member of the media. Anyways, that background noise you hear is Walter Yerkew on the hills of Tennessee bootlegging. So, anyways, we look forward.
It's the 75 radio limousine, you know. We travel in class. So, you know, I had a limo pick me up, and I'm on my way to a $500 a plate luncheon in Chattanooga.
Well, why do you tell the truth? You're driving old Mike Dowd's old Hyundai for the movie, and you're headed to a drive-thru because you got a coupon.
Pretty much.
But anyways, once again, we can't wait till 2020. We got presidential election, impeachment going on. We got the Tabasala racing. We're going to be more involved with that. We're going to have guests coming on, you know, great guests coming on. But anyways, that's the time we have for this week. Once again, on behalf of Walter Yerkew, myself, and everybody at Liberty News Radio, we want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.